Matthew chapter 24, and we'll read from verse 35. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, when his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give him them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We know that the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word. I'm going to take just four simple words from what I have read tonight. And I'm sure that if you don't remember much about what I'm going to say, that you'll certainly remember the four words. The four words that I have before me tonight are found in verse 44. Be ye also ready. I would like to try and impress those words upon your soul tonight. Be ye also ready. I think there's a solemnity to the portion of Scripture that I have read. If we look at it in the context of what has been read, I would like just to spend a second or two on that tonight, because I think there's a very solemn application to a gospel meeting like this. What we have read, the Lord has already come. In the context of this chapter, what is known as the rapture, or as it is called, has already taken place. That is, the Lord Jesus has already come, and those of this day in which we live have been taken home to heaven. When you come to the chapter that is before us, what is known as the tribulation, that has already taken place, that has unfolded. And when this chapter that we have read from lays emphasis upon the taking of some away, the idea is the taking of those individuals away to face the judgment of God. I think that is abundantly clear when you come down the chapter to verse 38. In the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage. And they knew not until the flood came. And you'll notice those solemn words. Until the flood came and took them all away. Well, what were they taken for? They were taken to face the judgment of God. That's the idea that you have in these two expressions. We have the two grinding at the mill. One is taken. That soul is taken to face God's awful judgment. The one who is left enters into the kingdom. And then you'll find the same thing, two grinding at the mill, two working in the field, one taken. And the other left. That explains the solemn statement at the end of this chapter. The Lord of that servant shall come in an hour, a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What we really have in this chapter is the Lord himself, and he's going to put into the earth the awful sickle of his judgment. That's described in Revelation chapter 14. The sickle is an instrument of judgment. I have said that there's a solemnity to what I have already said. And the solemnity is simply this. I may well be speaking to some tonight, and you're going to be taken for this judgment. And the Lord's going to come, and you're going to be left behind because you're not saved. And you're going to face the awful events that this world is going to pass through. And you, as you sit in this meeting tonight, these events are going to unfold in your little experience. And it's not going to be long after the Lord has come. You're left behind, and souls are going to be taken for judgment. And you're going to be amongst that number taken to face the judgment of God. I think there's a solemnity there that I might be speaking to souls here tonight. And you're actually pictured here. The judgment of God is before you. And it may well be that if you don't get saved tonight, these events that I have described very briefly are going to be your experience, your portion in life. Now, I'm not going to take it that way tonight. I'm going to take it the way that it is usually taken. I want to take tonight the license or the liberty of the gospel preacher. And I'm going to apply what I have read tonight to two solemn events. I want you to think of these words, "Be ye also ready." And I would like to apply them, first of all, to the coming of the Lord Jesus. Ready for his coming. Ready for his return. Ready for that moment when those who are saved are going to hear the shout, and we're going to be cut away from earth to meet the Lord in the air. I want to apply them in that way tonight. Are you ready for that grand event? Yes, there has been announced a gospel meeting for this room tomorrow night, and a series of gospel meetings coming. And if we're still here, we'll be praying that God will draw near and souls might be saved. And yet, I want to tell you tonight that you may never sit in a gospel meeting in this building tomorrow night. You may never sit in another series of gospel meetings, because the Lord Jesus is coming. And he says, "Be ye also ready." I want to look for a moment at the coming of the Lord Jesus. And then I want to apply the same thing to death. Are you ready for death? Are you ready for that moment that may come into your experience when life's little story will be ended, and you'll breathe your last upon earth and enter into the great eternity? Are you ready for that moment? Notice then, ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus. You know, there are two destinies ahead of every one of us in the meeting tonight. We are either going to heaven or we're on our way to hell. We are either prepared for that moment when he is going to come, or in this meeting tonight, we are not prepared. And that's the purpose of a gospel meeting. That's what lies upon the heart of the soul that would preach the gospel. There are men in this company tonight, and they've given their life to the preaching of the gospel. They're like John the Baptist, and his great purpose was to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. For the Lord was going to come to earth and move as a stranger in the worlds that his hands had made. John's ministry was to see that there was a people prepared to receive him. Well, the ministry of the gospel preacher tonight is this, to preach the gospel with the prayer, with the burden, with the longing upon the soul, that when the Lord Jesus comes in the clouds above the earth, and we're going to rise to meet him, that there might be those who would be prepared and would rise from earth to meet the Lord in the sky, ready, prepared to meet him. I want to leave you with three thoughts concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus tonight. I want you to think for a moment of the sudden character of his coming. And that is certainly emphasized in what we have read here. Let me make it very clear that we don't know the day and we don't know the hour. Verse 42 tells us that, "For ye know not when your Lord will come." We don't know when he's going to come. No man can set a moment for a day, for an hour, for a month, for a year to say when the Lord is going to come. But we believe that his coming is very near. We believe that it's an imminent event, that the Lord Jesus is going to come. There were those here in this very chapter, and when it came to the flood, it took them unprepared. It caught them unawares. They weren't expecting that that event was going to take place. And when Noah and his family entered into the ark, safe from the judgment of God, those outside, unexpecting for that moment when the flood came, and it took them all away. They weren't expecting that that was going to take place. Well, my friend, listen, I want to tell you tonight that the Lord Jesus is coming, and His coming is very imminent, and His coming is going to be very sudden. When I was a little boy, I knew that the Lord was coming. I had heard gospel preachers preach on that. And I thought to myself in my simple little mind that if I could be close to my mother when the Lord came, well, I could just put my arms around her, and I thought that I'd be taken as well. What folly! What deception from Satan! Why, He's going to come suddenly. He's going to come in a twinkling of an eye. And those who are left behind are not going to be aware for an instant what has happened. He's going to catch men and women unawares. He's going to come. He's going to come suddenly. And He's going to come soon. I believe there's a verse in Scripture that would teach me that. I want to apply it to this gospel meeting tonight. This is what God says. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. God has never promised tomorrow because the Lord Jesus may come. And so the God of heaven has promised sinners this present moment, this present hour. Now is the day of salvation. I know I'm speaking to some tonight. And you say to yourself, well, I've heard that over and over and over. I've heard that warning that the Lord is going to come very soon. And why, He hasn't come yet. But He is going to come very soon. He is going to come. He's going to step from heaven. And those of us who know Him, we're looking for Him. We're longing for that moment when He is going to come. My friend, are you ready? Be ye also ready. It's going to be a moment of separation. He is going to come suddenly. He is going to come soon. And it's going to imply a terrible separation. That's what we have read here in the verses that we have read, verse 40. Two working in the field, one taken, the other left. I have often pictured this little scene in my mind. Two individuals and they're laboring in the field. One of them saved, the other is not. And you know, any individual who's saved could never work beside, could never labor beside a person who's not saved and not speak to them about their soul. Why, we have a burden that souls are perishing in their sins. And how could such an opportunity ever be missed? Working beside a person and never warn them, never speak to them about their soul. And so I have pictured in my mind these two individuals working in the field. And as they are bending over, laboring there, one is saying to their fellow, the Lord is going to come, and you need to be saved. And the Savior has died at Calvary to provide a way whereby you might be in heaven. And they're speaking to them, and they're pleading with them about their soul. And that other individual looks up to find that no one's in the field beside them. That's what the Bible says. Two working in the field. One is going to be taken, and the other left. When that person has left, they might run across the field. They might run to the office. They might run to the barn, searching for that person who was beside them just a moment ago. But they're nowhere to be found because the Lord has come, and they're left behind. That's what we have in the portion that we have read. I wonder, would you be left behind if the Lord should come tonight? We are told here that there are two, and they're grinding at the mill. The one is going to be taken, and the other is left, grinding away at the mill. And then to turn the head around to find that the person who was beside them is no longer there. And to realize that that Christian has gone home to heaven. In the portion that Mr. Gray read tonight, we have two sleeping in a bed. I wonder tonight. I don't know who's in this conference just now. But I wonder if you might crawl into a bed beside somebody tonight. And you might have a peaceful sleep, so you think. Only to awaken in the morning. Only to open your eyes to find that the person who got in the bed beside you is no longer there. And to have the solemn truth to dawn upon your soul that the Lord has come. You have been left behind. He is going to come. He is going to come suddenly. He is going to come soon. It's going to mean separation. It's going to be a solemn moment. In the very next chapter we read that the master of the house will rise up and shut to the door. Those who are ready are going to go in with him. Those who are not are going to be left on the outside. My friend tonight, listen, where do you stand? I know there are a good number here tonight and they're looking for the Lord to come. We were hearing about that dear old sister this afternoon, and there's something about an old sister when she asked the question, "Are you saved?" I remember going into the hospital in the city of Toronto one afternoon. I might have told this in Fairview. I understand you have a little signal here when the preacher tells the same story over again. Well, maybe you'll enjoy it a little more this time, because I'll tell it over and over. Thrilled my soul. When I walked into that hospital room, and there was that dear sister lying there, lying on that bed, drawing very near to the end of her life, yet very mentally alert. And as she was lying there, in ran the nurse. And the nurse said to her, "Mrs. Mack, there's an astronaut going around the earth in space. The Americans have sent him up into space. And we would like to put the radio on in your hospital room so you can hear what is taking place. History in the making." You know, that dear old sister wasn't interested in any astronauts. That wasn't upon her mind. Because if she was lying in that hospital bed, she was occupied to the place with which she was going. And she looked that nurse right in the eye. And I only heard her say it once, and I'll never forget what she said. The words were impressed upon my mind. Never forget them. Her eyes were like diamonds in her face. And her face broke into a smile that you could never forget. And as she looked that nurse right in the eye, she said, "No, dearie, no." She said, "I'm going higher. Yes, higher someday. I'm going higher someday. Way up in space to a wonderful place. I'm going higher someday." She wasn't looking for death. She was looking for the Lord to come. She was anticipating His imminent return as she was lying on that hospital bed. She was going home. She was going to heaven. Do you say that tonight? Are you looking forward to the end of life's journey? However it might come, whether by death or whether by the coming of the Lord Jesus. Can you say with all the confidence in your soul, "I'm looking forward to going to heaven"? That's the longing of my soul, to leave earth behind and to rise from earth to be with the Lord Jesus. If you can't say that, you're not ready tonight. You're not prepared to meet Him when He comes. You know, in a few days, Mr. Gray and I are going home. We're at the opposite end as our two brethren. They have to face a series of gospel meetings before they go home. Well, I'm looking forward to going home. You know, there's something about going home that sort of touches the soul. And when you walk into the house and you drop your bags there and you can look around you and say, "I'm home." Well, I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to the moment when I leave this earth and enter into heaven with the Lord Jesus to gaze upon the man of Calvary who died that I might be there, to be reminded for eternal ages of that great price that He paid when we gaze upon those hands and see the print of the nails in His hands and in His feet, and to understand that He died for us upon earth that we might be in heaven, going home to heaven. Be ye also ready. Are you prepared for that moment? Or are you still in your sins tonight? Do you have no hope beyond the grave? Are you without hope in this gospel meeting? You can't say tonight that your sins are forgiven. You can't say tonight that that old account is settled. You can't look back in your life to a moment tonight when you receive Christ as your Savior. And as you sit in the gospel meeting, you're a stranger to grace and to God. No hope beyond the grave. Ah, friend, I want to tell you tonight that there's a great hope for those who know the Lord Jesus, for those who have come as a guilty sinner to Calvary, for those who have received Christ by simple faith. Tonight they can not only say that their soul is saved, but they're longing for that moment when they're going to stand face to face with Him. He's coming. Is there children here that are going to be left behind? I suppose, like the most here in this gospel meeting, when I was a child, I knew the Lord was coming. And one of the things that struck terror into my soul was that I might arrive home someday and find my mother and father gone in heaven. You need to be saved tonight. And there's no gospel preacher can promise you tomorrow. This is your opportunity, now, tonight. I have said ready for death. I walked into a funeral home way in southern Ontario one day. The man that I'm referring to, his grandson, is in fellowship in the Sussex New Brunswick Assembly just now. I walked into that funeral home because I knew that man very well. He was plowing a field and the tractor rolled over and it rolled down an embankment and it pinned him underneath the tractor. Thank God he was saved. When his boys finally went out to the field and found him, his shirt was soaked in sweat. He had suffered for a few hours pinned underneath that tractor. I walked into that funeral home, and as I walked up to that casket and I took a look in, I saw something that filled my soul. Across that man's hands in that casket was a little yellow card, just about 2 or 3 inches high and a few inches long. And on that card in very black, bold letters were these words, "Be ye also ready." I thought to myself, this might be interesting. And as I stepped aside to let others come, you know, there were men that he worked with, hardened men. And they walked up and they took their little look into that casket. They saw the verse, "Be ye also ready." And they turned and some of them nearly ran from that funeral home. Oh, friend tonight, listen, are you ready? Death may come suddenly. It may come unexpectedly. There's not one of us in this gospel meeting can say that we're going to be here tomorrow. We might be in eternity tomorrow. I had a friend, very close friend. Her name was Cora. Her last name was Brad, Cora Brad. Another friend, Wayne Scruton, and the three of us spent a lot of time together. Cora was a very commendable person. And eventually Cora and Wayne got married. About that time I got saved and I lost contact with them, but going through school we spent a lot of time together, the three of us and others as well. When I was in the city of Toronto teaching school one day, I got home and the phone rang. My mother was on the other end of the line. And she just said two words. She said, "Cora's gone. Gone." A young woman, 19 or 20 years of age. I couldn't believe it. She had gone to the hospital to give birth to their first child. And after the child was born, lying on a hospital bed in Tillsonburg, Ontario, Cora had reached up to call for the nurse for whatever the reason might have been. And when her hand hit the little instrument there that would buzz for the nurse, Cora was electrocuted in a hospital bed. 19 years of age, a young mother, gone out into eternity. Most ununderstandable place. Of all places, a hospital bed. When she let the little scream out as she grabbed a hold of that buzzer, the person in the next bed who knew her turned over to see that the buzzer should let go of it. And there she was, gone. And by the time they got into the room and got her out of the room and examined her body, there was only one little mark on her body where her red wedding ring was. I'll never forget that funeral. All of the town was there. I'll never forget my friend Wayne, as his father nearly carried him out of that little country church where that funeral was held. And he followed that casket of his young wife to the cemetery. Gone! 19 or 20 years of age, lying on a hospital bed, electrocuted. The inquest indicated that they really didn't know why, what happened. Other than that, there was some wiring that had been altered in that section of the hospital, and someone had switched a switch that sent many volts of electricity through that part of the hospital and that electrocuted her in the bed. My friend tonight, listen, you don't know where you're going to be tomorrow. That's why there's a solemnity in this gospel meeting tonight. We might be preaching to those that we'll never see sitting in a gospel meeting again. There might be an eternity by the time tomorrow's sun might rise. And so the question is, where will your soul be? Death might come suddenly. Death will mean separation. The poet has said, "Loved ones will give me their last embrace. Faces will bend o'er my still cold face. Shadows of mourning will fill the place 5 minutes after I die. But the sorrowing faces I shall not see. The murmuring voices will not reach me. And where, oh where will my soul be 5 minutes after I die?" Friend, where are you going tonight? What does eternity hold in store for you? Every individual in this gospel meeting at the present time should be able to answer to the God of heaven, "Are you ready? Or are you not ready? Are you in your sins tonight? Are you facing a Christless eternity tonight? Death may come soon. And death, my friend, is solemn. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. I referred in the gospel meetings at Fairview to my uncle, just very briefly. In the early years of 1940, there was a large troop ship that left the harbor at Halifax. That troop ship was carrying several hundred young Canadian soldiers. They were going over to Europe to fight in the Second World War. As that ship made its way out of Halifax Harbor, it was picked up by a large convoy. A number of corvettes and destroyers and other ships joined the convoy, and they started across the Atlantic Ocean. One of the young soldiers on that troop ship, my uncle, he was standing looking over the deck of the ship. You see, he'd been raised in the Gospel Hall in St. Thomas. He knew the Gospel. And as he stood looking over the deck of that ship, to his horror, he saw something that he never wanted to see, and he hoped he never would see. He saw the water break just a short distance away, and he saw the conning tower of a submarine appear, and he knew immediately that that submarine was going to make an attempt to sink the ship that he was on. He watched the submarine rise, and he knew when that conning tower broke the surface of the water that they were aiming the torpedo at the ship that he was on. And then he saw in the corner of his eye one of those little corvettes come, very small vessel. And the captain of that corvette maneuvered his little ship between that troop carrier and the submarine, just as the torpedo was fired. That torpedo hit the corvette. It literally blew it to pieces out of the water. He said as he watched, he saw the pieces fly into the air. There was literally nothing of it left after it had been hit by the torpedo. It had evidently hit the magazine in that ship and it had blew it to pieces out of the water. As he looked over the water, he saw man floating in the oil. He saw the oil start to burn. He heard men cry that they would be plucked from that water. He heard some crying that they wanted to see their wives and their children again. He listened to the cries coming from the burning water. And he said that he thought that he was looking into hell. He knew all about hell. He knew the hopelessness of it. And as he looked over that water and looked at those men, and he saw the hopelessness of their situation burning in the water. But that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is solemn. Because the orders were very clear, very definite. In a situation like that, they were to save the men on the ship. They were to save the soldiers. They were to save the lives of those hundreds of young men. And you see, that torpedo or that submarine was still in the area. And so the orders were very clear and definite. That convoy was to turn around as quickly as possible, and they were making their way back to Halifax, back to the safety of the harbor. They left men in the water. They couldn't pick them up. They didn't have time. They had to get to the harbor. And he remembered the ship turning around, and he looked back into that water, and he saw men hopeless, no hope that they would ever be delivered. Lost, burning in the water. He thought in his own mind that he had seen a picture of hell. Friend of mine in this meeting tonight, death lies ahead of you. Eternity is real and it is long. And the great issue that you face tonight is this. Where are you going to spend that eternity? Are you going to spend it in heaven with the Lord Jesus who died at Calvary? Are you going to spend it in hell, in the lake of fire, never, never to be delivered, hopelessly lost for all eternity? Where are you going to spend that eternity? I want just to tell you tonight that God has ready for you salvation. That salvation has been provided at infinite cost. It has cost the God in heaven His Son. It has cost the life of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. It has cost the shedding of His precious blood. And all that needs to be done has been done. The work has been completed. The Savior has died upon the cross. And the God of heaven tonight, in this gospel meeting, and it may be for the last time, is offering the sinners salvation. The pardoned friend is being freely offered tonight. The Savior says to the sinner, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There may be someone here tonight, and it may be like Mr. Joyce referred to this afternoon, reflecting my own experience. Many times I sat in a gospel meeting. I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I was going to hell. I knew that I would lose my soul if I died in my sins or if the Lord came. And if my efforts to believe could save, I would have been saved in gospel meetings long before I was, because I tried to believe. I actually closed my eyes and I closed my fist and I made an effort. I made an attempt to believe. And if my salvation depended upon my efforts, then I would have been saved long before I was. But I always failed. I failed miserably. Oftentimes I left the gospel meeting with an ache in my heart and a longing in my soul. I wanted to be saved, but I couldn't seem to get saved. Until the moment arrived that I had to acknowledge to the God of heaven that there was nothing I could do. Wandering on in the darkness of my sin, not a ray of light could I see. The thought filling my soul was sadness, no hope for a sinner like me. And it wasn't until we got to the place that we understood, lost, guilty, but that the Lord Jesus had done everything. And it wasn't my effort to believe, because we have said that to believe is simply, I accept what God has said. And God has said that Christ has died for sinners. My friend, tonight He's died for you. He shed His precious blood for you. He went to Calvary that you might be saved. And He beckons you to come tonight. All is ready. All has been prepared. Are you ready tonight? May God help you to make that preparation for eternity tonight by receiving Christ as your Savior, by bowing in His presence silently in the meeting just at this present moment, and from the very depths of your soul for the first time in your life to understand that the Lord Jesus did die for me at Calvary, that He came into the world to save sinners. I'm a sinner. He came to save me. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we vow to give thanks to Thee at the close of this day that we have spent. Those of us who are saved, we thank Thee that we can say that we have spent a day in Thy courts. And our Father, we pray for those who are not saved. There's no doubt today, tonight, that in the minds of some here, they have witnessed the joy of those who are saved. They have witnessed our rejoicing when it comes to the Word of God and to the things of God that are so precious to us. And the person of the Lord Jesus, who has won our souls and our lives. And our Father, we pray for those who know Him not tonight, that it might be that they would be saved. We believe that it is urgent, that is important, that we cannot promise tomorrow. Now is the time for them to be saved, to receive Christ. So we pray, Father, that they might take in the simple message that the Lord Jesus died for them at Calvary and might know their soul saved and their sins forgiven in His own precious and worthy name. We're going to sing in closing number 333. Number 333, just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, that Thou bidst me come to Thee. O Lamb of God, I come. We'll sing the whole hymn, 333.